I wonder if you would pray with me and for me this morning. Oh, gracious God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth might somehow be honoring and pleasing to you. God, that in all of the realities of all of our situations right now, that you would meet us exactly where we are. God, that you would give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear this morning, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do, and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said earlier, today is Palm Sunday, and for some people, they're going, of course, it's Palm Sunday, that makes sense. And for some of you, you are like, why in the world did they hand me this thing as I walked in today? And I understand that some of us didn't grow up in the church. Some of us didn't grow up celebrating these high holy moments, these high holy days. Palm Sunday is the day when we remember the beginning of the last week of Jesus' life. It's the day where we celebrate Christ coming in to Jerusalem, coming in on this little teeny donkey, and everybody cheering even though they were told not to. Everyone excited about Christ coming in and him knowing the way that week was going to go. We've been in this series for the last 6 weeks called Creed, where we're looking at the Apostles' Creed and we're looking at our own faith and coming to understand Christianity through the lens of the Creed. And the Creed is not the important part. Understanding our faith is the important part. And I think getting to Holy Week, which is this week that starts this week and leads to Christ's death on the cross and ultimately to resurrection, I think getting to this Holy Week is sort of the pinnacle of this series. The pinnacle of, do I believe, can I believe in a God that would become human, that would go through pain and suffering and ultimately be resurrected? Can I believe in that? Because that affects my faith. It affects the way I interact with humanity. It affects the hope that I have in the world. I heard this story recently, and I'd never heard this story, and it's from a long, long time ago. It's a story about somebody named Adibi Bakila. And Adibi Bakila, when he was 20 years old, he watched this parade of people coming back from the Sydney Olympics, and he saw Ethiopia on their jackets. And he said, what in the world is that? Who are those people? And they told him this was the Olympic team from Ethiopia. And he said, I'm going to be on the next Olympic team. That's pretty bold, right? He said, I'm going to be on the next Olympic team. And he practiced and he practiced his marathon. And he ran and he seeded at a time that was faster than Wami Baratu, who had been in the 1956 games. And his time was faster. So he was going to Rome and he was so excited. Now, the interesting thing about him, he got to Rome. He won the gold. His very first time going to the Olympics, running a marathon, he won the gold and he ran barefoot the entire time. He ran barefoot and he got a time of 2 hours and 16 minutes. That is my 5K time. That is not my marathon time, but he got a time of 2 hours. It's not really my 5K time. I'll just feel better if I run faster than that. 2 hours and 16 minutes barefoot. And when people asked him, why in the world did you run barefoot? Why did you do that? He said, I wanted the world to know that my country, Ethiopia, has always won with determination and heroism. He was the first African to ever win an Olympic gold medal. I mean, isn't that a cool story? Isn't that a cool story that he put himself out there? He ran barefoot. And as I heard this story, I thought, isn't that a Palm Sunday story? One who enters in not expected to win, barefoot, coming in on a donkey. Not that exciting to some, but exciting to others. I want to look at this story from John chapter 12 to give you this link that happens. John chapter 12, starting in verse 12. It says, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." See, this is the people's chance to celebrate. This is the people's chance to give honor and glory to their king, to the one who was giving them hope. This is the people's chance to get excited. They were mesmerized. Enthusiasm was growing. People came to celebrate. All these people came to celebrate. Well, most people wanted to celebrate, except for the Pharisees. The Pharisees were not excited because, see, Jesus was challenging their leadership. Jesus was challenging these religious leaders from all the rules and all the things that they had decided and all the people they had decided were out. And Jesus was challenging them, saying, no, all those people aren't out. And they were bothered by that. Jesus was a threat to their livelihood. He was a threat to their purse. Jesus was a threat to all of the things that they thought were the things they were supposed to be doing. But here's the thing. The people who were cheering, they didn't care about the Pharisees. They didn't care that they were told if they find him, turn him in. They didn't care that they could get in trouble. They wanted Jesus to be king. They wanted the one who had saved lives, who had changed lives, to be king. Now, the Pharisees were bothered by him, but they were also bothered by the fact that he had raised Lazarus from the dead, because that was too exciting for them. In this passage, it talked about the one who had saved Lazarus. See, the people had seen that. The people had seen Jesus giving food to 4,000 and 5,000 people. And they were ready for the rebellion. They were ready to finally take on Rome. They were ready to finally say, "Stop oppressing us. We can do good things." So even if Jesus had wanted to sneak quietly into Jerusalem, to just show up that week, there was no way it was happening. There was no way he was going to be able to just enter in. They were going to throw pomp and circumstance. They were going to have a parade. They shouted Hosanna over and over again. This was a word that was used to express adoration, to express joy. They say Hosanna to the king. And the words, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, blessed is the King of Israel." These are dangerous words. Words that could have gotten them in trouble because the Roman leaders thought this was a rebellion that was rising up. The Pharisees thought, oh no, this is trouble. So everybody thought this was dangerous, except the people who celebrated him. They didn't care about the danger. They knew that Christ was coming and they wanted to raise him up. They throw a stinking parade and Jesus comes in on a donkey. Not some big, beautiful horse. Not wearing some big, beautiful robe. Probably not even wearing shoes. So why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? Why does it matter? You may or may not have grown up. What's the point? What message does it have for us today? It's an important question, friends. If we just do things in the church for the sake of doing them, and we don't talk about the point why. Why Palm Sunday? Why would it matter? Why would we celebrate this day? I think there's a couple of reasons. Here's the first thing. Palm Sunday calls us to see Jesus. The people at the time saw him as a great leader. They saw him as a king in their lives. What this means, and this is hard for some of us, we can't turn Jesus into the comfortable, cuddly leader that we often want to. Right, when I grew up in the church, what a friend we have in Jesus, right? We want to turn Jesus into our buddy, into our friend. Well, in that moment, Jesus isn't coming in as their friend. They see him coming in as the rebellious leader. But if we want to follow Jesus and see Jesus for who Jesus is, we have to follow the way Jesus lives. We have to have humility. We have to see the oppressed. We have to stand up to oppression. We have to go against the things that are against the message of Jesus. It means that we don't boast and brag. It means that we don't get to choose who Jesus is on any given day. Jesus is Jesus. And I talked a few weeks ago about Jesus being Lord. It means that we have to allow Jesus to be Lord over our lives. That's just the truth. We have to see Jesus for who Jesus is. And I think there's a big difference in Jesus and me. I think I would have come in like, I saw this morning somebody was waving like this. I would have come in, if it was me, I'd have been like blowing kisses, signing autographs, saying, y'all come, right? I would have created a Facebook post, put it on Instagram. But Jesus knows the way the week's gonna go. And he knows that it isn't about all the pomp and circumstance. That's not what he's there for. See, the people want Jesus to be king, but I'm not sure they want Jesus to be the king he is. Maybe they want him to be the king that they want him to be. How often do we want Jesus to be the king that we want Jesus to be? How often do we want Jesus to stand for the thing that we stand for? How often do we want Jesus to stand for our political party? How often do we want Jesus to stand for our view on any certain thing? How often do we want Jesus to stand behind us when we're in an argument with someone else, theological or not? We want Jesus to be our king. And the funny thing about the Jesus in the Bible is the Jesus in the Bible is rarely about making people comfortable. In fact, he makes a lot of people uncomfortable, even the people that he invites in, even the people who are on the fringes, he makes them uncomfortable because no one has ever made them comfortable before. He makes the Pharisees uncomfortable. He makes the disciples uncomfortable because he pushes them and talks to him. Jesus moves through this moment while people wave palm branches and he goes, they don't even know what's coming. They don't have a clue what's going on. So first we have to see Jesus. Here's the second thing. We have to welcome Jesus. And this is really important. The people are there. They're ready. They're ready to welcome him in their lives. They're ready to follow him wherever he goes. What does that look like in our lives? That doesn't mean we just go out and stand and wave palm branches all the time, hoping Jesus is going to come back. What it means is that we put room for Jesus in our lives. We create space. We create calm. We create quiet. We open up that book called the Bible and we read it. We pray. We meditate. We come to worship. We do these things that creates quiet and space for Jesus. We make that room. Friends, it is very easy to go through every moment of our day and not even think about the one who we say is king in our lives. It's very, very easy. God was very clear in the Old Testament to the people, you do not need a king, you already have one. And yet they chose a king and we saw how that went. But to make Christ king in our lives, it means we have to create space for the king to come in. It may mean that we're doing things that Christ calls us to make room for Christ in our lives. It may mean that we're reaching out to people who are lonely. It may mean that we post positive, I know this is hard to believe, positive messages on social media right now in the midst of all the negativity. It may mean that we serve meals at the shelter. It may mean that we focus on our local schools and serve kids in our community. It may mean that we go after the vulnerable. You wanna know how to wave palm branches right now? Care about the people that Jesus cares about. Go after the people that Jesus cares about. Love the people that Jesus cares about. And here's the third thing. Palm Sunday calls us to shout the message loudly. Look at the text again, verse 17. Now, the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. You know what the Pharisees' problem was? People were shouting about Jesus. They were sharing Christ with the world. They were sharing hope in a world that seemed hopeless. They were sharing love in a world that seemed loveless. They were sharing joy in a world that seemed joyless. Sound familiar? We are called to shout the message of Christ to the world. These people welcomed Christ into their story and they couldn't help but tell others about him. They ran to invite other people to the parade. I remember coming into Jerusalem when we were on our trip a few years ago in Israel. And I remember just pondering as we looked over the hill and we looked down into the city, what that moment must have been like. What was it like when Christ entered the city and the people said, hope has arrived in a city that had been fought for centuries over, that is still being fought over. in a land where people were saying, this is mine, not yours, and Christ enters the land that people thought, for goodness sakes, there's no hope or joy that can be here. And he comes in and he brings it in. What would it look like, friends, if we welcome Jesus into our lives and it caused us to share the love of Christ with the rest of the world? Not because someone told us to tell them that, but because we are so compelled by the one who raised Lazarus from the dead, by the one who brought joy into the world, by the one who gives us freedom, by the one who loves us, that we couldn't help but talk about it. We couldn't help but share about it. We tell our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers about how Christ makes a difference in our lives, and we invite people to come to the parade. The question is, friends, is there a parade happening and you're not showing up? Is there a parade happening and we're not going to it? The worship team's gonna come up right now because we're about to have a little parade. But is there a parade happening in the world, friends, and Christ is entering in and he's coming in and you're like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I wonder what's good and what's happening right here in this community right now that you're not paying attention to, that you're not sharing about. How many people are gonna go to work tomorrow and say, y'all, we heard from an organization that we partner with that's trying to end homelessness in the community. And doggone, I'm excited that our church is part of that. How many people are gonna talk about the fact that last year we only made 75 backpack meals for kids during break, but this year we needed 150 some of them? How many people are gonna talk about that at work tomorrow and to say that Christ is doing something in the world? Because, friends, there's a parade happening. And the question is, are we going to show up? Maybe there's somebody at work that you're noticing, or somebody in your neighborhood, somebody in your community, and you're going, man, they're real sad right now. How many of you are showing up for those people? How many of you in this challenging season are trying to offer people a word of hope, reaching out to them, sharing that it must be hard in this time to connect? How many of you are doing that in this season? Y'all, we can get caught up in the negativity and the reality of our world and offer no hope. And we're just going down the drain with everybody else. What if right now the message of hope that you have to offer is that Christ has entered Jerusalem? And that's gonna change everything. Sharing positive messages. When we bring additional anxiety, friends, into a system that is already filled with anxiety, it makes it less like a parade and more like a plague that we're sharing with the world. You know, it is so easy, and I know I talk about it a lot, probably because it's affecting my own life. It's so easy to watch the news right now and to say there is no hope. Oh, for goodness sakes, Christ is the hope of the world. Christ brings hope into the world. And are we gonna shout it? Are we gonna share it? Are we gonna live into it? Or are we gonna just stop? Are we gonna be part of the cesspool? Palm Sunday calls us to remember that Christ, the humble King, came into the city to bring hope. Friends, with Christ on the throne, there will always be hope. Always be hope. In a world that seems hopeless. That's the message that I'm gonna keep preaching. That's the message that I'm gonna keep sharing. That's the Palm Sunday message. That is, frankly, the Holy Thursday message. That is the Good Friday message. And ultimately, that is the message of Easter and the resurrection. So our kids are gonna come in just a moment. And they're gonna parade through here with palm branches. And they're gonna bring some joy. And doggone it, smile at them. Like, give them big smiles. Let them know that there is still hope in the world. Amen? There is still hope in the world. And they are not the future of the church. They're the right now of the church. So as they come in, give them big, cheesy smiles. Let them know how happy you are they are here today. And let us invite Christ the King in. Amen?